B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
There. It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, follow the bouncing ball if you're watching on the simulcast. Here we go, Zoe.
She get a hold on you, believe it.
You're going the wrong way. You got to go this way.
Like no other, for you know it, you'll be on your knees. Easy lover. I just want to know, people, the sacrifice we're doing today, working in these conditions like a sweatshop. We're not making sneakers. We're not doing shoes, making clothes, doing sports takes. It's like 95 degrees in here.
It's warm in here.
It is hot.
Warm in the studio today.
I think better when it's cooler. Yeah, a little more perky. You go to a casino, they got the oxygen tank.
Right.
Tank's cranking.
Yes.
They got the AC on.
Yes.
Whoo. This is a sweatshop.
That's what. If we can't get cool air, can we at least get pure oxygen pumped in here?
Or a mister. You know the misters with the batteries?
I think the mister would be a bad idea around
the
equipment.
You haven't done anything today. Go get me a mister.
He's not even listening right now.
Of course he's not. It's on his phone. Sitting back. Oh, he does sit back like this. Sits back.
Wait, I almost bought one this weekend. The team at our softball tournament had it's like a Home Depot 5-gallon bucket full of ice. Fan fits right on top of the bucket. Battery powered.
Of course it's battery powered.
Well, there's nowhere to plug it in. Teams misting down during the tournament.
Teams misting down. 8-year-olds standing in 100 degrees.
You've spent time in the Southwest. The misters that they have outdoor places, especially like in Phoenix. Like, it's not enough just to sit inside. If you want to sit outside, you got to have the misters on. And I love that. It constantly puts a mist down on you.
Remember,
as you're trying to sit outside.
Jim, we were in Houston. We went to Cheesecake Factory. They had misters there.
Yes.
Nice. Like, classy. We were outside on the patio. After one of our first shows out there for the Super Bowl. Houston. Yep.
I remember going to Cheesecake Factory, but we went
outside
at night.
No, we maybe went another time, too. We were outside. It was during the day.
Just the three of us for lunch.
You guys went without me? All right.
I don't know. Were you doing something else? You had multiple things
probably,
you were doing,
yeah,
right?
You had other things to do.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
All right. Let's get back to Dennis Eckersley and David Price. Yesterday, David Price took it upon himself to address the situation. I don't know that anyone was clamoring for it. As a matter of fact, earlier on in the day, David Price indicated on his Twitter account that, it was on. What? It's lit? What did he say?
Lit.
It's lit.
L-I-T, lit.
Today is going to be lit.
Today going to be lit.
Referencing the fact that he was going to speak out against what Dennis Eckersley had to say in the Chad Finn column, where Dennis Eckersley said, look, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to see him.
Ever.
I don't give a bleep. I don't think he gives a bleep. You know, that's anything that happened between us a couple of years ago, that's it. David Price not letting it go.
The fact that it was 2 years ago, over 2 years ago now, the fact that he wanted to move on, and since then he's went on the radio and talked about it. He's done it again. In 2017, I addressed it. I told you guys on front of the camera that I wish I'd have handled it differently. I did it again in 2018 in spring training on day one. Said the same thing. We had a meeting set up in 2017 here at the field. Got here early, an hour and a half, 2 hours after I get here. They come and tell me that he's not coming. You know, we had a meeting. He backed out. I was going to tell him, you know, I apologize. I didn't handle it the right way, and it continues to come up. There's no reason for it. Honestly, I just think it's trash. You know, he had an unbelievable career, 25 seasons. He's a Hall of Famer. I saw his special on MLB Network. It was cool. The one thing that definitely stood out to me, he had zero former teammates in that interview. Not one. talking about him. It was him talking about himself. If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that.
I'll have the manager at the McDonald's I worked at. Vanderbilt.
I haven't watched the documentary. Apparently, the documentary...
Obviously, he didn't either.
does, in fact, have interviews with...
what an idiot.
Ex-former teammates, Ron Darling, Bruce Hurst. And in the column that Chad Finn wrote, he said, I talked to a lot of people. Maybe he was getting mixed up, the documentary and the column. He said, well, I talked to a lot of people, and it was redundant. They all said the same thing. They all praised Eckersley. They all had the same thing to say. So, you know, I interviewed people for the story and didn't use anything they said because there was so much universal praise for him that it got redundant. Jim Rice loves him. Remy, Buddy Bell, he's a son to La Russa. Scott Sanderson, who recently passed away, loved him. On and on.
Shaughnessy called into Felgren Mass and he couldn't be more wrong on that as far as the documentary people not being involved.
Dan Shaughnessy heard them talking about it.
He's
felt compelled to call in.
At the park.
Here's what Dan Shaughnessy said. Just spoke with Bruce Kornblatt, senior producer of MLB Ek Doc. He said, I came away feeling ex-teammates all loved him. We got 100% cooperation from those we asked. Hurst, Fossey, Darling, McGuire, Lynn, Remy. We didn't ask many. By design, this was supposed to be Ek on Ek. As you said earlier, Zoe, there's more than one way to do a documentary. There's more than one way to tell the story. This particular way was supposed to be Ek talking about himself.
When you produce it, when you run it, and when you try and come up with these different companies, we just watched the Edelman documentary, the 100% Julian Edelman. You know, he's got his hand in, you know, the production business. Brady's got his own, the production videos, the Chara stuff, the motivational stuff. You're always looking for it to be something different from a creativity standpoint. We had Chopra on talking about this at the Super Bowl. And to go out there and just roll out the same repetitive type document, I mean, you just, they're tune outs. Not to say this one's that much different from the others, but he couldn't have been more wrong. Be careful when you get told something by somebody. And I guarantee you this is what happened. Right, one of those teammates told him, you should have seen this documentary on me. He's on there talking about himself the whole time. Didn't
his broadcasting has also revealed his own take on language to the world, long after he became famous for it in the clubhouse.
He has his own vernacular, Ek speak.
Bridge, see ya. Three run, Johnson.
There's a whole bunch of it. But it's very colorful.
That's teammate Fred Lynn.
Oh. You sure I wasn't Ek? Just Ek on Ek?
There's a... there is...
When's he pitch again? Tomorrow? Yeah. Hit him
tomorrow,
hard, hit him early.
In Baltimore, yeah.
Hit him hard, hit him early.
There's the question out there which immediately comes to mind if you haven't been following this, you know, chronologically is...
Tough start for
well,
him.
Well, what is it that set Price off? You know, he said he won't stop talking about it, and I've addressed it. I addressed it then. I addressed it at the start of spring training. I did it again in the middle of last year. What is it? In the Chad Finn article, this is the quote. This is how it is. And again, I don't think he did this unprompted, but Eckersley was just responding to the question. I didn't know how to deal with that. He's talking about the incident on the plane. And here's the entire Eckersley quote. I didn't know how to deal with that. I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him. Never. I don't really give an expletive one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or the other.
Oh, you couldn't be more wrong at the end there, Eck. Somebody
Period.
Still cares.
Yeah. End of quote.
Yeah.
This is what David Price felt compelled to go off on for 4 minutes yesterday in the clubhouse talking about how he has to stand up for himself, how he has been misconstrued, how he has been willing to come forward on numerous occasions. He's only used the word apology that I can think of once or twice in all of this.
Yeah.
Saying you would do things differently. It's not quite the apology that and by the way, there's a whole science and an art to an apology, right? Yeah. Saying that we do things differently, you're not really apologizing. And maybe he doesn't want to apologize. And if that's the case, David Price, once again, my suggestion would be don't talk about it at all. And I'm not saying you just have to shut up and pitch. By no means. That is not my call to action here, because we love it when players talk and we want to get in and out and all around the game, not just about the game. If it's just about the game, right, read the box score, and then we have nothing to talk about here, and that's not how this town or any town works where people really like sports. They want to know everything from training camp to what they say before the game, what they say after the game, everything around the game. But on this one particular subject, David Price?
Price has been here for a while.
You might just want to say nothing.
Was the Eck thing a good thing or a bad thing for David Price here during his tenure here? Regardless of winning or not winning.
Very bad thing.
I'd let it go.
I would let it go at this point.
He can't.
Because he's projecting onto Dennis Eckersley something he feels about himself, the way he's either going to be remembered or the way he is treated right now. He looks at Dennis Eckersley and saying, people love this guy, and all he does... You know, what do I have to do? David, I'm telling you, you did it. You are, in fact, the card holder. You won the World Series last year. They do not win that World Series without you, and you proved that you can pitch in the postseason. And you've got carte blanche in most every single area. But a guy up there in the booth, who everybody seems to like anyway, is up there doing his job. And he might do it in a manner that you're not all too keen on.
Well, and you get your facts wrong, too, when you take it to the next level and you go and attack him outside the incident that happened with you. You start ripping his documentary and his friends and who he is.
And then you get your facts wrong when you're attacking him.
He looks more stupid. Didn't think it was possible, but he looks more stupid.
He looks like a thin-skinned baby. And now, has he elevated himself to the least likable winner this town has ever seen? I would love to hear if there's another person who won. Is there someone else who won in this town who has ended up being less likable than David Price is right now? 617-779-0985. I have a couple of ideas, but I don't want to put any words or thoughts in your mouth in terms of guys who might be liked less than David Price. Got to be a guy who won. I mean, that's the you got to have the ring, right?
Sagan win.
That's one.
They really
could
have
be.
A hand in it?
Could be, Zoe. We'll see what everyone else has to say about this. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody. I saw a special on MLB Network. It was cool. The one thing that definitely stood out to me, he had zero former teammates in that interview. Not one. Talking about him. It was him talking about himself.
All right, so some ideas here in terms of guys who are liked less than David Price. Winners in this town. David Price, is he establishing himself as the least likable winner this town has ever seen? 617-779-0985. Zoe, throw out Tyler Sagan.
I'm sure Tim Thomas's name will be thrown in there.
Okay. I will say...
But from a... That was after. Like, this has nothing to do with the game or you winning, you know?
Tim Thomas probably had, well, I know he had more to do with the win than David Price did, okay? David Price was huge, instrumental in the World Series victory, and you give him credit for that entire postseason. What Tim Thomas did in the postseason, especially in Game 7, that was kind of otherworldly. So he gets a bump in the likability factor, and quite frankly, I think people's issue with Tim Thomas is they just don't understand.
Well, but I think people can separate politics, too, regardless of what you think. Like, whether you think you're wrong or I'm wrong, you know, he likes not to go to the White House, becomes a massive issue because his thoughts don't line up with yours, and he's a bad guy. Yet there are people that currently decide not to go, but they're viewed as heroes and not bad guys. It depends on what side you're on. Well, see, people could separate that.
I don't even think it's a politics issue with Tim Thomas.
He's nuts.
They're both nuts. He went off to live in a bunker. I mean, that's goes beyond politics. Well,
look at Michael Bryan. He could live in a bunker. I'm sure he could spend months upon months.
I don't think it's unlikable at all. Is he?
Tim Thomas?
No, if he was there to wave the banner.
If he was going
to
wave the banner, that place would go nuts.
Nobody would go nuts for Price.
Unglued.
That's the difference.
I think people are wary of him. And they're like, there's something going on with Tim Thomas that we never knew about. Man, and that makes people uneasy.
Yeah, but Peeves.
I think they're uneasy with Tim Thomas.
Dude, we did four shows down there outside the garden saying if this guy shows up, that place, that roof's going to explode.
Exactly.
I have one for you.
All right.
And I just asked the intern. Nobody on the phones has this yet.
Go ahead.
John Farrell.
No.
Yes.
Manager, though.
No. Nothing to do with anything.
Different level.
Robot.
Different. It's a good one.
Extremely unlikable.
It's a good one.
Zero impact on it.
I like him better now that he's a lobster boat captain.
I have more respect for him now.
I do. I'm happy for him. Are you going to be happy for David Price if he finds some peace later on in life and he's not acting like a jerk anymore?
Go design video
games. He was on the John Lackey train.
Go design. Kurt Schilling. Woo.
Schilling took a shot at him last night, too.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah, he's right, man. 88 games, 88 innings you've logged. You're paid over $30 million. Your team's freaking spiraling. And this is what you're going to do? You're going to go attack a Hall of Famer?
People like Kurt Schilling in this town? He's a winner.
He's a winner.
He's unbelievable. Is he a well-liked guy in Boston?
Got a nice ovation when he came out, what was that, a year ago?
Uh-huh.
Not in Rhode Island.
Is he a well-liked guy in this region?
Probably not.
Probably not. That's a pretty good one. Let's take some calls here. 617-779-0985. As David Price elevated himself to the least likable winner in Boston sports history at this point. Anthony in Pembroke, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to throw this one out there. I think David Price is definitely taking the cake on this one. He makes it extremely hard for us to like him. But what about Keith Folk? I mean, I think he compared Boston fans to a bunch of McDonald's workers.
Burger King. Johnny Burger King. Yeah. Johnny.
That's what it was.
Yep.
He's not at the same level.
That was just a comment, though.
Yeah. Not at the same level as some of the other guys.
Folk's been brought back, so he's been cheered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not there.
He actually was on the broadcast, I think, once.
Greg in Cambridge.
Hey, guys. Rajon Rondo for kind of pissing in the soup with the coach and having no respect for the team.
Kind of
I think
that.
He's turned out to be highly unliked by the Boston.
Well, I tell you what, everyone who didn't like Rondo has been proven correct in terms of, you know, what he was.
But that was
like,
established
like as a guy. But when you think of that 08 team, though, do you think of Rajon Rondo?
No, I think Pierce. I think Garnett. I think Ray Allen.
Yeah,
guys like Eddie. I think guys like Eddie House and company had more of an impact. I know Rondo stirred the drink.
Absolutely he did. But you don't think of him, fourth, fifth,
sixth pecking order in that
team. Yeah, you don't think of him as being instrumental.
Yeah.
David Price, instrumental in that World Series. You know, Kurt Schilling, instrumental in the World Series.
He took Rondo for what he was. Petzl and Bratt. You know, he knew it. He knew it. And it wasn't as polarizing as Price is. Price is polarizing.
Here's the other thing with John Farrell, I would say, Jim, and when you put him up there, I don't know how instrumental he was.
He's a figurehead,
in 13.
Man.
Yeah. I think that
kept putting Gomes in that lineup. Everything said don't put him in the lineup, but he kept saying, nope, we're keep winning with him in there. We're gonna keep going with him.
Well, and he's the reason why they won the World Series. He's the guy you want to go to war with, Johnny Gomes.
Ed Workman batting in the World Series?
Uh-huh. All right.
Brandon Workman's there, your closer.
Unbelievable. Fred and Norwood, who do you think is the least likable winning athlete in this town's history?
I'm sensing a trend here, but right around the time that I believe you, Hardy, busted Josh Beckett on the golf course when he was bagging out of games and the Texas tough guy, everyone calling him an a-hole, I think that's the closest we've ever come to this Price thing. A lot of people
it's pretty good comparison,
Beckett.
Yeah.
He won a few games, a few World Series.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, then he took to the dais and said, I get 18 days off. I'll do with what I want with him on that day.
Josh Beckett might be the new leader in the clubhouse.
How about his little brother, Clay Buchholz?
I think you have to be good to be considered.
So you hated him. You hated him with a passion.
I did, but I never considered him, like, good. Like, it's like the Jackie Bradley Jr. potential thing with him. You waited and waited like, Jesus, but Buchholz, like it's either now or never. And it was never. You always get hurt. Like you had to be.
I think of Beckett as being more instrumental in,
yes, winning.
In the win.
Frontline winner. Buchholz, not frontline. David Price, frontline winner.
Josh Beckett might be the new leader in the clubhouse.
Buchholz, he's the guy. Or five.
People like Josh Beckett around here? Oh, my God. That number.
You did. That guy was badass, man. Days Texas
off.
Badass.
We only have 17 days off in the entire season.
Fly he
my,
never.
But fly Beckett my was girlfriend up. Out to watch me pitch for free.
Beckett reached the pinnacle of likability. Yeah. Price has never reached that pinnacle. Price has always been low. He got a little bit higher, but he never got to the level
it just
Beckett
seems like
was.
Price wants that and desires that and can't get it, and it just drives him crazy.
Beckett had both ends of the spectrum.
Beckett could care less either way.
It yeah. drives me crazy for him. David Price shut everyone up. In last fall, last October, everyone shut up about David Price. Look what he just did. He had it. It was done. He won.
Like I said, he was on the John Lackey highway. He was on the John Lackey turned it.
Yes.
John Lackey turned it for the positive. When he left here, he was applauded going off the mound, leaving the mound at the last time in the World Series. Like he was loved at that point.
John
after
Lackey
he turned
was
it around.
Was part of the most unlikable Red Sox team in recent memory. He was at the core of that chicken and beer group and turned it around to the point where, as Jim just said, got the ovation the last time he pitched here. It was unbelievable. David Price had gotten to that point. So you did it, kid. So you won everybody over. And then you threw it all away because you couldn't keep your dumb baby mouth shut about Dennis Eckersley, who really wasn't even going after you. He was asked what happened with all that, and all he said was, I never see him. I'm not going to talk about it. I don't give a bleep, and neither does he. And to that, you felt the need to respond for 4 minutes yesterday in the clubhouse? You big baby? Now, it's all undone now. Forget about it. You held all the cards and then you showed your hand. Unbelievable. Oh, I like Chris in Wakefield. I like this one, Chris. Who do you think?
Hey, Jesus Shuttleworth himself, Walter Ray Allen, for going to Miami.
Thank you. Thank you. You and I are on an island on this one, though.
He left.
People love Ray Allen around here. Give him a standing ovation
still.
When he came back. They gave him a standing ovation when he went to Miami to make less money than the Celtics were willing to give him to go join the team that had just beat you in the playoffs.
They want to win.
What,
are you going to kill Al Horford for going to one win now?
I find what
down
he,
to Philadelphia?
I find what he did to be very unlikable. But him as a person, not as unlikable as what Josh Beckett was and what David Price is. 617-779-0985. I say that, but the lines are loaded.
It's so hot here.
We're going to well, you know what? You can step outside right now.
I'm
go.
Gone.
Go. Go while Mike O'Brien does his headlines, and we'll continue taking headline. Your calls here on Solak and Bertrand. It's already in for Beatle.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Solak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Taking your helmet off, walking towards our dugout, like pointing, fingers. And I always said, granted, we're inside the lines and we're professional ball players, but what if you're at a grocery store and the guy right next to you in line is pointing at you and yelling at you? Are you going to go get security or you going to do something right there? Granted, we got to be professional inside the lines, but at some point, you got to stand up for, a red-blooded American.
There's a lot of sabermetrics and there's a lot of numbers and stuff. The whole war stat. When we go to playoffs, it's you want me to go to war with.
I always liked that analogy of the grocery store.
I thought that at Trader Joe's the other day, like when I was getting the ginger snaps, and this woman was looking at me strange. And I'm like, you want to point at me or we're going to go outside and settle this?
Right. But you didn't want to break the ginger snaps because right. if they get all crumbly, then what's the point?
You can put your daisies and your fresh cut flowers down and we can go out and settle this like man and woman.
I love a good ginger snap.
Kids love those little buckets.
Well, you dunk them in the milk.
Yeah. The chocolate chip cookies are good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Little mini ones.
Mm. So,
but he is viewed as a tool. I mean, you took Johnny for what he was.
You don't sit there and laugh at him. You laugh at him. He's like, I mean,
like you don't take him seriously. Like he's going to start a fight in a grocery store. Like this guy's nuts.
Clownish.
The doof.
David Price.
Price wants you to take him seriously. And like, I'm attacked and I'm going to defend myself. What are you talking about?
And he had it.
He attacked you.
He had it. He had everyone won over. If not won over, he shut everybody up. He held all the cards. He did it.
This guy wants to pitch his tent at the White House. That's all he wants to do.
Oh, Johnny Gomes?
Yeah, he's American.
Yeah.
Look at him.
David Price had everyone against him, and then he pitched in the postseason, and he was one of the main couple few reasons you won the World Series, and he had it. He had won, and he just couldn't keep his baby, immature, dumb mouth shut about one particular topic, Dennis Eckersley. And now he has put himself right back into the conversation for the least likable winner. Winner!
I think it's good. I think you see a little juice to this team right now.
In Boston sports history. Let's
go. A little juice.
Justin in the truck. What do you think, Justin?
Oh, I think that Price is just a contradicting douchebag.
Oh.
You listen to the questions about how he thinks that Eckersley should respond, and Eck just basically brushes it off, and then Price just continuously runs his mouth just for the attention. I think he's just a crybaby, and he has no other way to express himself than to dig on one of the greatest pitchers that I've seen pitch.
It's another example, and thank you, Justin, of Price, I feel, projecting onto Eckersley the things he doesn't like about himself. Someone said, why does Eck keep doing this? And David Price responded, it's the attention. He wants the attention. Well, what do you think you're doing this for, David? Why is it that you drive around in that $200,000 armored vehicle of yours? Is it because you don't want to be noticed? Why are you talking?
Why'd you address and click on the differently posed headline by another sports entity that retweeted the place across the street? They redid the headline, and it caught Price's attention. This story, like Chad said, was out since Tuesday. David could have read it. It was out there. It's number one site on the Globe. Number one story clicked on the Globe. Globe website on Tuesday. And since the headline was rephrased by somebody else, it got Price's attention, and he went after it. So he sits there, and he goes through his mentions again.
He doesn't like it because he thinks people are getting
the phone down.
He doesn't like it because he thinks people have the facts wrong and they report them incorrectly. This is what you're doing, David. When you talk about the fact that nobody showed up in his documentary, former teammates or anything else, there's a whole list of guys that were in there. You don't even know. So what you're going after Dennis Eckersley or other people for are the things that you are guilty of. It is psychology 101. You're projecting. You are finding and pointing out the things in other people that you dislike about yourself, but you can't admit. And you see it in someone else, and you see red over it. You lose your mind. It's unbelievable to me that no one has pulled him aside yet. And so, at this point, I think someone has to step in and get these guys to cool this thing off for good.
And whether
I don't think it's Alex Cora or it's Dave Dombrowski. We had this discussion. It's not all on the baseball side. It encompasses both the baseball side and the broadcast side, and it's got to come from ownership. It's got to come from one of those three guys at the top. And, you know, John Henry would be the ultimate buck stops with me. Hey, guys. Before all this went down,
Tom Caron tweeted us out, too. Yesterday he was with Eck at the Jimmy Fund visiting the kids. Not that that's anything to do it, but he's just to show you the type of guy Eck is and how people think of him.
And David Price does a lot of good stuff, too. Look, David Price, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he is the most immature, unlikable guy that around right now by far. But I don't think he's a bad person. He can't let you like him. He won't allow it. Maybe that's part of his psyche, too. He needs
that
edge.
Maybe that's what drives him.
Maybe he needs to be disliked. Maybe that was the problem.
There are people who like bad relationships, right? They like to be stepped on, like to be used.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like to be talked to a certain way, and you can't get away from those type of people, and that's what attracts you. Maybe this is what turns Price on. I don't know.
Who else? Who else is one in this town that you find to be more unlikable than David Price? Leo in Rhode Island, do you have someone?
Yeah, so I was thinking about any of the guys that have won and left for the Yankees, like Ellsbury. I know Damon, maybe not so much, but in old news, Babe Ruth, I mean, you got to hate anybody that goes and plays.
Yeah, but today they didn't run their mouth. You know, Johnny found a better contract.
Johnny Damon.
You weren't going to pay Ellsbury $142 million.
No.
Like Ellsbury, like you hate Ellsbury for the front back MRI, for the misdiagnosis. Like other than that, like what else did that guy do?
Is Ellsbury as important in the win as David Price was?
No.
Johnny Damon was the face of that team.
Well, JD Drew
that team
was more
that team had a lot of phases, but Johnny Damon was chief among them. And going to the Yankees is a bad look. And yeah, he got more money. I don't think anybody likes that aspect of it. But right now, take a poll: who do you dislike more, David Price or Johnny Damon? Who wins that vote? Right now,
I'd bring back Johnny Damon to throw pumpkins off the Ritz-Carlton again.
Right now, today, oh, it's David Price in a runaway. All right, Craig in Ashburnham wants to defend David Price. What is it? What is it? You like David Price, Craig?
Well, I like edgy Price because I think when he first came to Boston, he was a little intimidated, and then he had a dust up with a reporter. I remember about a couple of years ago, spark back at him,
and Evan Drellick, yeah.
Yeah, and he's been a different pitcher since then. I think he's basically saying, screw this, I'm going to show you. And I think I like edgy Price. He's immature, and I agree with you there. But he changed after that moment, I think, in Boston.
I hope so, from a pitching standpoint, from a success standpoint with your team, if you want that, if you want him to do well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you're timelining it, yeah, you can make a case for that. I think it's hard to draw a direct
incident. He needs to motivate himself or a jump off point.
Yeah, well, it's hard to draw a direct cause and effect. I mean, there's a lot of other factors in play, but there is that, though. Maybe he needs this. He needs to be.
I need it. I'm just glad it's back. I do. I think this has been a whole.
You couldn't say anything about David Price.
You couldn't say anything about this team.
Yeah.
Like, what are you waiting for, Nathan Eovaldi?
It started all last postseason. You couldn't talk about Price, and we couldn't talk about him until yesterday.
It's all back now.
There we go.
Jim Murray's back now.
Can only say good things about him.
Always me.
I don't think Murray ever stopped.
No, Murray stopped. Murray stopped.
He didn't stop.
It's back. And it's good. It's good for all of us.
We got a football one here. Matt in Boston. Who do you think? Who do you think is more unlikable than David Price? Somebody who won in this town.
How about that tool, Eric Mangini?
People dislike Eric Mangini more than David Price.
I could care less about him.
I don't know if they dislike him as much. I just think he's a sellout and he just
rat.
Sucks.
He's a rat.
Yeah.
Guy's a rat.
Yeah. Didn't have as much to do with it, though. It's tough.
That's like John Farrell, man. I cast those off. Yeah.
All right. Okay. More of your calls on David Price and Dennis Eckersley.
Wait, real quick here. Did Corey Dillon go after Felger with the rushing stats? Was that after he won, or was that on their way to winning that year? Or I thought he confronted. He was waiting. I thought he confronted Felger, and he got all pissy. Like Corey Dillon was pissy there for a while at the end. That may have been after he won. I'm not sure. That's a while ago. That's 14 years.
I'll have to go back and check the timeline.
That team was wagging. That was a good team, boy.
All right, and there's another aspect to the Kyrie Irving story that we're going to have to get to starting at 1 o'clock here on the Sports Hub. It's Hardy and Frabeetle on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time now to talk with head coach of the New England Revolution and sporting director Bruce Arena to joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bruce Arena, I have to just say, first of all, congratulations on the 4-0 win last night. And when exactly did you teach Gustavo Bo how to take that shot, like you said, in the walk-off after the first half yesterday?
Real easy to take a ball out of the air and strike it in a volley. So, you know, I taught him the day before. Okay. He did well.
Yeah, he picked up on it very, very quickly. What a goal. What a victory for you guys last night. I mean, you have to feel great not only in the acquisition, but for him to get his first goal in his first appearance. That was storybook-like.
Yes, I think that helps build his confidence, helps build the confidence in the team and the player. And overall, it was a real good evening for us. Certainly not perfect. There was a lot of things we can still do better, but we're making progress.
You think you maximize about as much as you could get out of your team? I know you're rolling right now, and the human element of it heading into Cincinnati on Sunday, you know, where they're there at the bottom. Do you have to worry about your team with a letdown the way you guys have been playing?
No, I don't think there'll be a letdown. We just got to perform well on the field. You know, our team's ready to play each and every game, but in our league, every game is 50-50. So we've got to, you know, be as sharp as we can be. You know, we'll have some travel on Saturday. Cincinnati plays tonight, so we should have hopefully a slight advantage in recovery, but we know it's going to be a difficult game.
Back to last night's game, you said there's a lot that you would have done differently. I mean, I know you would have liked to have had, you know, more than a 1-0 lead at half, but you didn't just, you know, hold Vancouver to no shots on goal. They had no shots in the first half. I don't know how you improve defensively after last night. That was a clinic in that end, too.
Yeah, but the second half, you know, they got some chances against us, so I wasn't pleased with that. But overall, you know, let's be realistic. The team is performing well. Our defensive record has improved greatly. So we're doing well at both ends of the field, and I'm eager to see if we can continue to improve as a team.
At what point, yeah, I mean, you look at games in hand, you know, Montreal, and, you know, you're 2 points out of this thing right now. Is there any drop dead points, but you know what I'm saying? When do you stop looking at games in hand?
Well, I think the only thing we're looking at right now is the next game and try to get 3 points at home all the time and at least one on the road. If we can do that, we'll qualify for the playoffs. But it's certainly not going to be easy. As we move forward now, we're going to be playing some stronger teams. You know, Cincinnati's been good at home as of late. We have Orlando at home next week, and then the best team in the league comes into Foxborough on August 3rd. So it's not going to get any easier. We know that, but hopefully we can get enough points to position our team for the playoffs.
I wish there was something I could question from last night, but honestly, that 4-0 win, the fact that Bo scored, Carlos Heel scored, Bunbury with the goal at the end, Diego with the header that we're watching on the replay right now on NBC Sports Boston right now. I mean, it feels like a victory lap day for you. I know that you've got work to do, but what a great game last night. That was something else.
It was, and you know, I have to give the team a lot of credit, and I have a great staff with me that they're doing an outstanding job, and we're hopeful that our next home game, which is next Saturday, we get a lot of people out to support this team because we're really on the upswing at the moment.
I know, and I think you deserved it last night. I think the weather scared some folks away, but
sure.
You know, you ride this unbeaten streak into that next home match.
They'll show up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm eager to see what you're going to teach Gustavo next. Do you want to tip your hand a little bit? What are you going to show him for the next?
Probably a bicycle kick. I'll go over that with him tomorrow.
All right.
I got to loosen up a little bit. Get a little stretching exercise in.
That might be a whiteboard demonstration than an actual on the field.
Yeah.
Demonstration.
I would agree with that.
All right, Bruce Arena,
right, Bruce.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bruce Arena, he's the head coach and the sporting director for the New England Revolution. It was 1-0 last night, the half, so it felt like it should have been a lot more. The way they poured it on afterward, this Gustavo Bo, which I didn't watch Mexican League. I have no idea what kind of player he is, first of all. And these guys come in from Mexican League and from other leagues, they will oftentimes comment on the MLS about it. He goes, you guys run a lot. You know, it's more of a chess match.
Yeah.
Clyde and I were talking about this last night. In the MLS, a lot of teams are playing more aggressive defense. It forces the team to run back and forth up and down the field a lot more. So I was expecting Gustavo Bo to be like a little more on the slight side. He's not. He's a bit of a tank. And this guy is not afraid to move around the field. And to pot his first goal in the first half of his first appearance with the Revs last night.
He got lucky on it.
I don't know how he got so much on that shot.
Thing is laser.
Look at where the put in is though from the corner. You know, on those corner kicks, they generally go into the box right in front of the goal, and you're trying to get a header. This was a design play to get it out to Bo, and for him to connect on that and to bury that thing. Holy crap! Is this guy good? This is gonna be fun. They were fun to watch on the. You know, when they had 8 games unbeaten. It's going to be even more fun now, and especially if Carlos Hill continues to play the way he has. It's something else. I'm happy for him. That was great. That was a great game last night. All right, we're going to turn our attention back to Kyrie Irving, and one underreported part of the Kyrie Irving to Brooklyn story, an unlikely courter, let's say. Someone who courted him there in Brooklyn. Much like Kelly Olynyk was part of the courting process to get Kevin Durant to Boston a couple of years ago. That didn't work out. This one worked, though. We got to figure out why it worked. We'll talk about it in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let this ride. This is nice.
Did you go see this place in here in Minnesota?
I did not get a chance to. By the time I signed up for it, they were all sold out. I hear it's phenomenal, though. I mean, if you're a Prince fan, you got to do
it. White building.
What?
Just a white building.
No, it was his home. His studio's there. His instruments, all his stuff. Get to check it out. I couldn't. I mean, I literally couldn't go. It was booked solid, booked up. People went like Rich. He booked his like, you know, weeks before we went out there. So I messed it up. All right. Earlier we were talking about yesterday's press conference introducing Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter, and conversation turned a little bit to Kyrie Irving and the Nets, a little bit. Shams, how do you pronounce Shams' last name, Jim? Sharania? Yeah, Sham Sharania. This is what he posted. My debut on the Athletic podcast with Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie.
And you say, who?
You familiar with Spencer Dinwiddie? Inside his relationship with Kyrie Irving, when their initial dialogue began, how Brooklyn appealed to free agents and blah, blah, blah. Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm with Sham Sharania, who is an NBA insider for The Athletic.
Okay. It's a lot of good tips.
Yeah. Debut podcast. Big this... company like The Athletic, right?
Yes.
Don't be fooled. The audio's not great.
Okay.
very critical, which is good. That's why we guess, do good things here.
First guest, Spencer Dinwiddie? Okay. All right. Well, what does he have to say?
You know it was going to be a situation where if I get one, we'll get two. Yeah. Like, how did you go about it?
Yeah, so I don't know Kevin like great, right? Like I just kind of know him from a basketball perspective. The Kyrie stuff, the first time he reached out was probably maybe December. In terms of just like loosely talking about it, you know what I mean? Like, because he's still obviously super focused on his season and everything. Right. But, you know, you could just tell from the conversation that it was like a little bit different. It was on his mind. Obviously, free agency was coming up. And so that's kind of what it was. Just asking a friend about his current situation and what he thought. Actually, no, it definitely was the same because he made a comment to me. He was like, New York might be real fun next year. because I hadn't signed yet. And I was like, bro, like, I don't know, like, if they're going to, like, extend me or not. And he was like, I think New York might be real fun next year. And at the time, I'm like, oh, so y'all going to the Knicks. Like, that's what happened. Like, you and the Monster going to the Knicks. That's, like, when I was first, like, tipped off to the whole thing. You know, as a friend, like, why wouldn't I, like, talk about what Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson are capable of and, you know, the type of fit that it could, you know, possibly be if he were to choose us. So
how much of that were you selling? Like you just talked about
a ton.
Sean.
A ton. Come on. Like, a ton. You know, I mean, if you look at it, we have one of probably the more fun systems to play in. You know, the main thing that they require from us is pretty much effort. You know, they allow you to make mistakes and do things like that. And then, you know, Sean, from a, like, family first GM's perspective, and a holistic approach, right? Like, you're going to try to get fostering mom, you know, make sure, you know, your tickets are left for your family and all that stuff. And, you know, also make sure you have the days off and, you know, different blackout days or whatever so you could have family time, you take care of your body and all that stuff. Like, it's a very comprehensive approach. And those type of things go a long way, especially in today's NBA. So, you know, and having those conversations, like, you know, with a guy like Kyrie who's going to be locked into things like that and be aware of his family, be aware of his body, like all of these things, of course, I'm like, bro, like, it's perfect for you.
What, I'm sorry, Jim, what kind of approach did he say that they had with the Brooklyn Nets? I want to clarify one thing before we continue here. What was it?
And a holistic approach, right? Like, you're going to try to get fostering mom, you know, make sure
holistic,
you know, your tickets are left for your family and all that stuff.
What the hell does that mean?
It's like the mind over body approach where you get your family around. Everything's copacetic. Your world comes together. The physical part of it, the mental part of it, the holistic.
I don't think he meant holistic.
Aspect. Holistic is putting like creams and oils on your skin.
Holistic medicine.
Yes.
Did he mean logistic?
Oh, Jesus.
I think so.
This is when we get thinkers that start talking too much. Kyrie's gone down this road before.
Do you think? Do you think there's a reason why these two hit it off?
So Kawhi Leonard orchestrated Paul George's departure and trade to assemble what they did out there with the Clippers. LeBron gets Anthony Davis and who to go to the Lakers with him.
Not just Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
They tried to get Kawhi.
So, and now all of a sudden it's Spencer Dinwiddie. Final drive. Spencer Dinwiddie recruits Kyrie and Durant to Brooklyn.
Spencer Dinwiddie. Do you know who
he's the go-to guy?
Do you know who Spencer
he's the
Dinwiddie
liaison?
Is? Do you even know who he is? I don't know. He played for the
Pistons.
Like
a backup scorer.
He's drafted by the Pistons.
Yeah.
Played 2 years in Detroit.
Yep.
He's been in Brooklyn now for 3 seasons.
Nice little backup scorer.
Played 80 games 2 seasons ago. Averaged 12-6 a game.
Spencer Dinwiddie's your selling point?
Almost 17 last year.
There's more to this, too, though. Do you know where he hooked up with him?
December, he said he started talking about it.
It was before December 14th, because that's when Dinwiddie signed his extension. And they said he was trying to talk to him about maybe the Knicks.
I think maybe.
I wonder where did they meet, Jim? Where did this all come together?
Not at the All-Star game.
Hmm. Where do thinkers usually go? They go to Harvard, right?
Oh. Wait a second.
So there was this sports sort of one of those seminars where they sports science things they talked at.
Yes.
And came together and
yes.
You know what, man? You think the way I think. And if you think the way I think, we think together.
Oh,
imagine we could be in and we can get KD to come.
Imagine our heads together.
Like Brooklyn.
On one team.
Not Knicks, Brooklyn.
Could you imagine like two pseudo-intellectuals like us?
Holistically.
Take it over the world.
I'll bring my oils. You bring your smelling salts. I get one of those misters, man. We can make it smell like a spa.
Our whole family's going to have tickets.
Because of the holistics.
Your dad's
a flight. His mom gets a flight because of holistic medicine, yeah.
That's right. God.
A Harvard business class for athletes called Crossover into Business in the fall.
Well.
That's where they met.
Kyrie is certainly showing his business acumen so far with those SpongeBob shoes. Those things.
Those
That's how he's going to make his first billion. That SpongeBob thing that he's attached himself to.
Kids will buy them left and right, man. Kids are stupid.
Between the flat earth and the holistic approach to giving out tickets, the day long. I went to Harvard, yeah, for 2.5 hours.
I got gas in Harvard.
With a break for lunch. What? Honestly, what is the matter with these guys? They
think too much.
They don't have anyone around them to help them think these things through.
That drove me nuts today, too. And you get Danny Connor. I just want you to know how much I appreciate Kyrie for being open about everything. And Kyrie's a different game. You know, Kyrie's got other interests. And I like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
No, you don't. You want guys that just want a ball. That's what you just said.
And a holistic approach, right? Like, you're going to try to get foster your mom. You know, make sure, you know, your tickets are left for your family and all that stuff. And, you know, also make sure you have the days off and, you know, different blackout days or whatever. So you can.
That's what you're looking at. You know, not where we rank as a team or how, but like what are days.
You know what
like?
It
What's
is, though?
Blackout days. This is, you know, our location and where we're going to live in the city. That's such so much more important than winning. And just
it's holistic. It's like Reiki. You know how you just hover your hands over a body to cure certain areas? They don't even have to touch the tickets. Right. They can hover their hands over the tickets and move them from the office into the box office for your family. You holistically.
Know I like that little sand garden where you get that rake and I could make that.
Love that
infinity eight sign, but you get all the different grooves from the rake, and I blend that all, and it becomes one. And I'll sit there and I'll stare at that thing. Or you get the knocking balls.
Oh, those are great.
Those balls that are hanging.
Yeah,
and you take the one on the right and just hit the other ball, and they go tick, 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 and it's back and forth, man. And it's just ball hitting all day.
About boys in the hood, the dad.
Yeah, and then you put on
the meditation balls. Where you just roll Lawrence those balls Fishburne. Around in your hand.
Lawrence Fishburne, like, yeah, big dip in. Yeah, hey, Trey, put the gun down, Trey. It's
Kyrie and Dinwiddie give me the sitting gun. Around thinking.
What's the name of it? She sent some barbecue over. It's nothing. Like, when you get that barbecue sent over, you got the tinfoil over the plate, that's when you know you got a good barbecue. Because that thing smoked all day.
Was it Doughboy's mom? Had to have been it. Because the barbecue was at Doughboy's house, right?
Make some good barbecue. Yes, it was Doughboy's... welcome out of jail party.
Right. You didn't bring me no swine, did you?
No. She makes them a good barbecue.
All right. I don't know that there's anything left to be said on Spencer Dinwiddie, but you're welcome to chime in on that. A lot of people still want to talk about...
Put some pieces together, the timeline.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Now we get it.
Yeah. Now it makes sense.
We get your thought
Spencer
process.
Spencer Dinwiddie and him.
Brooklyn's a perfect place for those two.
The brain trust.
What a recruiter.
It does. It makes some sense.
What a recruiter.
As little sense as he just made, that actually kind of makes sense now. And he got to go home to Brooklyn or New York. Not Boston.
Throw out the brakes. I go breathe in a hallway.
More of your thoughts on Kyrie, and we still have David Price and Eckersley calls holding on, so what the hell, we'll do those two coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.